now.
Here is what I have come to as a conclusion in the last 24 hours. The CFL must play at all costs.
How about that?
This is a situation that the CFL's in. And if these players don't want to play and the deadline's coming, it's 9 days away, can you please tell me what they're going to do then?
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
Hey, we're coming in hot on a Wednesday, July 15th. Welcome to the RP Show, everybody. Episode 276 of the best darn sports show out there. I'm Rod, and he is Darren. Good morning, Dupes. How you doing?
Good morning.
I'm doing well. Darren DuPont. I'm Jimmy Carson. Johnny Carson. Not Jimmy Carson, the former Edmonton Oilers forward. And he's Ed McMahon. I know you're not old enough, but you get that a lot.
I do.
You get that a lot. Ready to talk sports?
Of course.
When I say we're coming in hot, we're embroiled in a Twitter controversy, and gather around, kids. You're going to realize how you can have a discussion on Twitter and not scream and yell at everybody, block them, and never talk to them for the rest of your life.
I'm excited to learn how to do that.
Yeah. It's with Dave Naylor of TSN. That's coming up. On this program today, in hour one, Justin Dunk of Three Down Nation, the CFL's top insider. I'm looking at the wall because that's where the marquee is. Robert Wichell of the Jays Care Foundation. Hey! Okay, Blue Jays. It just looks so good on the screen, doesn't it?
Does.
Got my Jays Take October bunny hug on. Can we get Jays Take August bunny hugs made?
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah. And in hour two, when we go to Facebook only, and you're all going to come over there, those that are watching on Game Plus TV Network, you're going to be joined by Drew Tate, CFL great, Iowa star, turn coach, and Ryan Ballantyne, chief punk, podcaster and blogger of the Calgary Stampeders. We've never really seen eye to eye. Don't think we like each other. Makes for great television.
I'm excited. It's
good.
Always fun. He always has something ready for you.
Before I get to the quick six show topics, just keep your finger on the trigger, Jordan. I just want to say this. It's funny how it takes 24 hours for things to go viral. Sometimes longer than that. But my number one point yesterday that the CFL must play in 2020 is just now reaching the sphere of the players. James Wilder Jr. saying, no, the CFL must pay the players in 2020, which he's right. I think there's room for everybody's opinion. Tony Washington's jumped on board. Who are some of the guys I named?
Oh, man.
Shamad Chambers.
Yeah.
They're all jumping on
that.
The players obviously agreeing with me, but the interesting thing is that David Naylor does not. And my point is that if the CFL is out of sight, out of mind, they may just dry up and die altogether. I'm not moving off that stance. Believe me, I'm not trying to kill the CFL. I love it more than anything. Naylor's contention is that they don't need to play. They're not going to wither up and go away. The NHL missed a season. Major League Baseball missed a season. They came back. And we're kind of having a friendly back and forth just within the last 30 minutes where I'm saying, I'm sorry, but the CFL and those leagues, particularly the NHL, are now apples and oranges in every regard. Finances, zeros at the end of the ledger, salaries, revenue. All. What are you doing over there, Paul? We're doing a show over here. What?
Nothing.
The owner of it's over there, and I'm yelling at him. It's what they call CLM, kids, career limiting moves.
No, you're right.
I'm right. Okay.
No, you're right. I just couldn't hear you.
We do this show before a live studio audience. It's old school broadcasting. So anyways, I don't think I'm ever where were we?
I'm out.
Before I was rudely interrupted by the guy that signs the checks. Wait. Do whatever you want, Paul!
Thanks, Rod. Love you.
Love you, too. So we're going back and forth with me and Naylor. I'm pretty sure that we're not going to come to a consensus on this, but this is what I don't get. I'm sitting there saying the CFL must play. He's sitting there saying they don't need to play. They'll be fine. If I was the CFL, I'm not sure I would want Naylor saying that. Listen, the teams, they're gathering sponsors together. They're trying to convince the sponsors that they're going to play. They're hanging on by grim death by the fact that they're still talking about a season, meeting about hub cities, trying to wrangle sponsorship is all predicated on them playing in 2020. That's all part and parcel of why they must play in 2020. And you got Naylor over here saying we don't need to. Change my mind.
Yeah. I mean, I understand that side of it, though, that, you know, he's not fearful of the death of the league if they don't play this season. You know, if they don't play, massive financial hit, but a CFL and a league that's been around for 100 years isn't going to just go away. Even if the league, you know, files for bankruptcy and somebody else has to come in, or the NFL has to come in and pick up the ashes, or whoever else, and it's not called the CFL, it's called NFL Canada, or it's called XFL, or BFL, or TFL, doesn't matter. It can still be the CFL that we know and love, with the same rules, the same history, the same teams, all of those things. So I think that's the other side, is that, okay, it is very important that they play, but maybe it's not life and death. Maybe the CFL will survive.
Sure, but listen, we haven't talked about it for a while, but we talk about it a lot on this show, the concept of perception. Maybe the CFL will come back this year, maybe it won't. But what about the players? What about the James Wilder Juniors of the world and the Willie Jeffersons? As a matter of fact, what about all of the 500, whatever it is, players in the CFL Players Association? The guys that are talking about quitting, retiring, and getting on with their lives. I got to tell you something. It's a crisis to them. It's a crisis to their careers and the 24-year-old university football players that have had the rug ripped out from under them. That's all I'm saying.
You're right.
That's all I'm saying.
And that's the other side of it is, you know, baseball's multi-million dollar, maybe billion dollar business. So they go through the lockout and they get all this hate and they lose a massive amount of support. But when you're on life support as it is and you lose that support, I get it. From the fan perspective, there might not be, you know, the ability to resuscitate.
Zach in Calgary's watching. He says the league, where does it? He's got a million. Zach, stand back from your keyboard, okay? I can only read one comment. He's just sending. He said somewhere along in here that wouldn't the league attract more sponsors if they partnered with the NFL? Everybody loves that shield. CFL's having a tough time attracting national sponsors. That would not be a problem under NFL Canada. That's a whole other offshoot. Listen, enough on that. David Naylor, I love you. That will never change. Quick six show topics, Jordan. There we go. Okay, Blue Jays. They had an intra-squad game last night.
Yeah.
Who won?
The Jays.
Oh, they're 1-0. Listen, I didn't see it because I was out in my hometown. Why the sign's not on the wall today? Did somebody take it down? Paul, did you rip down the sign?
You bet.
And then I was at the dump. So by the time I got home and flipped on Sportsnet, the Jays game was over. So did you see any of it?
No, but I saw, you know, Twitter going crazy about different plays and whatnot. It's just exciting to hear people talking about baseball or talking about sports. I love that.
It is. Arash was sending me pics from where he was seated up in press level behind home plate at an empty Rogers Center, and he loved every second of it. So the Jays played an intra-squad game, and they won. They're off to a great start. By the way, Phil Kershaw writing in, former chairman of the CFL Board of Governors. He says, sorry, Rod, I agree with Naylor. Not sure we won't lose less by not playing. And is the shortened season even viable? Won't be the only league that won't play. Well, name me the others aside from the Western Canadian Baseball League. What other leagues are canceling their seasons? Not too many. NLL did, but not the entire season.
No.
As we talked about in the morning meeting, folks, agree with me, disagree with me. I don't care. Just watch. Point two, CFL update. I guess this all goes into this, but really what's going on with the CFL is just conjecture and gas bags like me talking, because there's really no news. Correct?
Yep.
Should we just talk about something else? That's not good for the CFL.
No, it's not. I mean, we want to talk about the CFL, but you're right. There's no games. It's all conjecture about, you know, who's going to, you know, what the future is going to look like. But it's definitely worth talking about, and the CFL needs people like us to be talking about it on a daily basis. They need to have conversation moving forward, and that's always been an issue in the offseason. The CFL would go to sleep in the offseason, wake up out of their hibernation in spring, and then start being relevant again.
The comments are going off like a slot machine. Richie Leone, punter for the Red Blacks, is watching in Alabama. He says, not viable under proposed conditions from the league. I want to play more than anyone, Rod. That's from Richie Leone. Or at least the last we talked with Richie, he was in Alabama. Well, listen, one thing I don't think it made the clip that Clark put out yesterday, producer Clark, that although there's a lot of disgruntled players on social media with their thoughts, and Richie being one, we can't say that they reflect all of the players in the Canadian Football League. That's what the vote will be, and they have until July 23rd to decide whether they want to accept the proposal or not. Now, listen, I'm hearing a hell of a lot more from the guys that don't want to play and accept this proposal. Maybe we need to hear from those that do. 10% of the people make 90% of the noise, right? That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying I disagree. Listen, Richie, I'm on the player's side. I've said it a million times, but it'll come down to the vote. I don't want to fight with people. I don't. If they don't play and the players don't like it and there's no football, I say, may the Lord have mercy on your soul. Because then the financial juggernaut that is the Saskatchewan Roughriders will lose $10 million. They said it, not me. We're in a critical time, very sensitive time for the league. And I could sit here and talk for days on point two here, but maybe we'll move on. Actually, we will move on. Point three is part of all of this. Are players actually expendable? Because I've heard that a lot lately. Players are expendable. These guys don't want to play, we'll get more players. I've heard it from fans. I've heard it from coaches. I've heard it from staff members of teams. I want to get your thoughts. I don't know if you read my column this morning. Everybody's expendable. The nickname of the staff around here, we're the expendables. We've all been deemed expendable by prior employers. That's why we all come into work every day with a chip on our shoulder, and it works. But everybody's expendable. Where are you on the players are expendable phrase?
No. Yes and no. I mean, yes, there are other players. How many opportunities, especially in football, how many opportunities are there to play football? If you're when you're done at the U Sports or the NCAA level, you go to the NFL, you come play in the CFL, and then what? You know, it used to be Arena League, and there was the XFL, and there was NFL Europe, and
none of them could compete with the NFL, just so you know.
But they thought they had to,
right?
Instead of being comfortable with where they were, and then you've got some adult leagues, which are just for fun. I think Darrell Leeson's still playing tackle football somewhere.
Fort McMurray.
So you could play in the CFL if you wanted. There'd be guys, but there's more than enough football players that would come and play. Now, does that mean it works and you're going to be able to replace them, charge the same amount for tickets, make the same amount of money, sell the same amount of jerseys? Not even close. Not even close. We always talk about market the players, longevity, build stars that have staying power. You need them.
Richie Leone continues and says, you think less fans come watch if Andrew Harris isn't playing?
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying is I don't agree with it. This is the notion that I'm led to believe the CFL has, the movers and shakers, is that players are expendable. They will say, who was Andrew Harris before he became Andrew Harris? Am I right on that?
You're right.
That's like, I'm on your side, Richie. I'm just telling you, this is how the employers look at it.
Yeah, they'll say, we made Andrew Harris Andrew Harris, which they did. I get it.
That's what they'll say.
And you can bring in the next guy and make the next guy. But it takes years before he becomes Andrew Harris, the household name that's selling a lot of jerseys. Are you willing to do that with the whole league?
This is how they look at it. Don't shoot the messenger. Can we get the comment up from Trent in Norway, please, fellas? I see that Trent is finished his supper. And here he is. Norway calling. Hope the CFL can play. We can't let the players get more rust than they already have. I hope the Blue Jays get a good start on a short schedule. Anything new with the Raptors or the Rattlers? Stay well, everyone. The Raptors are in Orlando, getting ready for the resumption of the NBA season. And actually, I heard Charles Barkley on ESPN Radio yesterday. The hosts were saying, Charles, when are you going to Orlando? He's like, are you nuts? I'm not going to the center of the coronavirus. I'm staying home and analyzing from here, which I thought was hilarious. Chuck didn't even want to go to Orlando.
That's funny.
It's hilarious. What were all those comments?
Rattlers.
CEBL. The Ottawa Blackjacks, the expansion franchise in the CEBL, open training camp on Monday. How do I know that? They sent me a news release. The dinosaur method of doing things.
Oh, yeah.
So I can only assume the Saskatchewan Rattlers open training camp, if the Ottawa Blackjacks did, they're going to be opening right around the corner. We got to get a Rattlers update. But that's it. They're playing. We just don't know about it. We're running out of time. And Justin Dunk's going to be with us coming up after the first segment. Because this is the rollout for Flooring Superstores. We love them like the Dickens. Are they still in Kelowna, the Dickens?
Last time we checked his social media.
Rhonda Dickin is making masks. I have a story on that, by the way. Custom-made masks at flooring superstores. Point four, do you have a problem with pro athletes crossing the border? I don't. Do you?
Zero.
Okay, point five.
That was quick.
Are you in favor of Vladdy moving to first base? Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Again, I didn't see the intra-squad game last night, but I read about it. I'm not necessarily in favor of it, but I'm not married to that opinion. Clark, our producer, is going to come on here later in the program and say why he thinks this is the greatest idea in the history of baseball. Was it 78%?
Yeah.
Of respondents on Facebook say they like it. Last I looked on Twitter, over 80% said they like it. This is what I don't like. This is what I don't understand. I grew up playing baseball, got away from it in my years in the CFL. I'm now coming back, watching it, that is. If Vladdy Guerrero, whom I'm holding right here, was statistically the worst third baseman in all of the majors last year, why are you moving him to first where he'll handle the ball 3 to 4 times more per game if he's got bad hands? That's what the stats say. That's all that I'm saying. And he's known for his bat, not his glove, right?
Right.
So we'll be talking Blue Jays a little later on. Robert Witchell joining us from the Jays Care Foundation. And point six, how and what are you following in return to play, by the way? What's taking up your time aside from the business here? NHL, NBA, MLS, NFL. Do you have one that's pulled your attention more than others?
The NHL is starting to. Yeah, I'm paying attention to the guys going to camps, looking at the rosters, getting excited about what these teams might look like and what the NHL's return to play might look like. That's taken up most of my time.
They're in the media. They're doing interviews. And you just said they pulled your
I've been inundated.
It's called publicity.
And it's not just by the league. It's by every team, and it's by the media, and they all work together to create publicity, and that's followed somewhat closely by the NFL, too.
Cool. Thank you. There's no right or wrong answer. I just wanted yours.
Yeah.
Paul Figler's watching in Red Deer. He of the dubnetwork.ca website. He says, who should I cheer for in the Major League Baseball season? I haven't been a fan of baseball for years. Hello. They're called Canada's team for a reason. We're in Canada. I don't care. Blue Jays fans from coast to coast. One thing, the Mariners have not, from what I can tell, gone into Vancouver and taken over that market like we would be led to believe the Seahawks have. Because the Blue Jays, every year when the Blue Jays go to Seattle, we all tune in those games, and Safeco Fields, if that's what they still call it, is filled with Blue Jays fans.
Filled with Blue Jays fans. And it's not like Seattle's a whole lot closer for us to go to than Minnesota to watch the Twins play.
Oh, exactly.
Right?
No. Well, I know tons of fans from right here, the middle of the bald prairie, who plan their summer around going to Seattle to watch the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
So, Paul, come on. Easy answer for you. Toronto Blue Jays, Canada's team. I know the comments are on fire. I'll try to get to as many of them as we can, but we're going to break and bring in Justin Dunk with the latest on the Canadian Football League here at 3downnation.com. This has been the rollout for Flooring Superstores, and it's the RP Show you're watching across North America on Game Plus TV Network and listening and watching around the world on the Rod Peterson Broadcasting Network.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something.
Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions is Saskatchewan's only full-service supply chain company. Strategic sourcing, PO creation, and order expediting, VMI and vending solutions, and free delivery are just a few of the supply chain services we provide. If your company needs it, Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions can get it for you. Price, quality, service, Rockstar Supply Chain Solution is helping Saskatchewan companies buy better.
building a deeper connection with our fans by putting them in the show. It's a new era of sports talk. The Rod Peterson Show airs from 10 to noon, Monday to Friday on Facebook Live. Join the conversation today and tune in. Online, on your phone, at home, at work, follow us on Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. And subscribe on YouTube for all the content you want to watch. Don't wait, do it right now. Cheers to the 16 guys who never back down. And to the smooth, refreshing beer with a real beer taste. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Celebrate the 5th anniversary with friends, family, everyone you know. Plan your next group experience with your Saskatchewan Rush. Group benefits include block seating, ticket discounts, and a dedicated fan experience coordinator. For more, visit saskrush.com/groupnightout.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop staffed by PGA of Canada professionals is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Some of the challenges we face with the CT technology that we have today is some of the deficiencies in around integration with some of our other systems. The addition of two new 4D simulators within the programming of the Saskatchewan Cancer Agency is going to have significant impact on you know, the care we provide to the people of Saskatchewan.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Things are heating up, and I don't know if it's just from us rubbing two sticks together. I don't know, just starting talking about the CFL. But there's become a major Twitter controversy here this morning on just with the CFL, whether it'll play or not. Tom Halleck, a good friend of ours, T-Bone, he's the public address announcer at IG Field in Winnipeg, home of the Bombers of the press box. And he says, I'm sincerely hoping for a 2020 CFL season for purely personal and professional reasons. This might be the only work I get until January, depending on just where the hub city is going to be.
Oh.
So there's a guy, right? The only work I'm going to get is announcing at Bomber games. You start to realize where it is essential to these people that are working in the Canadian Football League. Let's bring in on video chat now from 3downnation.com, the CFL's number one insider, Justin Dunk. I like to call him Canada's Adam Schefter. How you doing, JD?
Staying safe out here, guys. What about you out there?
Yeah, we're good. We're good. But we don't have the population that you guys do in Southern Ontario. And maybe we can come around to that. But Justin, we haven't had, it feels like, any sort of real CFL update in quite some time. I'm talking about like last week at least. And we haven't heard from the commissioner for longer. What do you have for us today?
There's been nothing concrete, obviously, from Randy Ambrosi, and from what I'm told, he's largely been silent because the CBA negotiations are ongoing. The latest with respect to those, there are a lot of people that feel like the CFL are taking their old school tactics like they do at CBA time all the time and cram an agreement down the players' throats at the last minute. That is how the players' side is feeling right now. So I feel like we're not going to hear from Ambrosi until if and when there's a final decision made on a possible season in 2020, because he doesn't want to say anything publicly that could be used against him potentially in the labor negotiations. But the players are sick and tired of this, and I believe that this is the one instance in the last little while that the players actually have leverage in these negotiations. Because if you have the stars of the league, and you guys were talking about this earlier, Andrew Harris, let's say, and all the quarterbacks and the all-stars, Willie Jefferson, if they don't show up, there is no CFL.
Well, scary thought, isn't it? I mean, we are hearing from the players on social media, Vernon Adams Jr., James Wilder Jr. There's a litany of them. Tony Washington. Do they speak for the majority or they just speak for themselves? Should we read anything into that? Do they speak for a lot bigger group of players that don't like this proposal?
I think they are not necessarily speaking for every single player, but I do believe it is the majority, because all of the players I've talked to, agents and, you know, even the guys on the personnel side feel like, you know, how can the players play for this kind of money? That I really get the sense that is the majority. And yes, some guys are choosing maybe not to voice it publicly, but players are frustrated because they're looking at the proposal going, all right, I'm going to go play six games for 33% of my salary in a hub city model where I'm going to be there for either 15 weeks or up to 105 days. And the CFL is not going to match their pension in 2020. At least that's the proposal. So, you know, what are we really doing here? And even though there have been guys that have come out like James Wilder Jr. and say, hey, I'm moving on at least for 2020 and going to start my career after football, there are a number of players who have done that that just haven't voiced it publicly. So they're going to be weighing that decision of 33% of my salary in a hub city model, leaving my family, and putting that against the potential of keeping some of the side jobs or even main jobs that they have right now.
Mark it down. It's July 15th, and we have no idea if the CFL is going to play this year. And I'm kind of swinging back and forth. I mean, the CFL and teams are wooing sponsors that there will be games. And what I'm hearing from you, and I believe it, and the players too, is that there is no appetite from them to accept this deal, which tells me there won't be games. And all that tells me is we don't know which way this is going to land. Is there any point even talking about hub cities right now if there was no return to play?
Well, I do think there is a point, but what needs to be actually figured out here, and we're never, I don't think, going to know for sure, is whether the CFL really wants to play. Do the owners want to get on the field? Because it's clear the players do. And I think the way that we'll find that out from the league office is if there is actually a legitimate offer presented to the players. That's the one and only way we're going to find out. There are some people that I've talked to that feel like the CFL is just trying to continue to kick this ball down the road. And you guys were talking about this earlier and trying to just keep the CFL among the conversation. Yeah, we looked at hub cities. Yeah, we had discussions with the Players Association. We wanted to play, but the players didn't accept the deal. The issue here is going to be the PR blame. The league doesn't want it, but there is no way that the players are going to be blamed for not playing, especially when you look at the proposal right now that is, again, trying to be crammed down their mouth.
Oh, and like you say, that becomes a PR football, and it may come down to whether they get federal aid, whether they play or if they don't, as to how the Ottawa and how the MPs across the country look at the Canadian Football League. But what you're telling me, Justin, which I should have known, it all comes down to money, doesn't it always? And there really isn't any right now for the Canadian Football League. That, to me, is the bottom line, if I read it correctly.
It is, Roddy. And actually, I did some digging before I was coming on the show. I hope to have something more concrete, but I reached out to the Prime Minister's office and was actually put on to another department there. And they said, you know, they will look at funding. I'm actually going to read from the statement that I got. Our government will work with all Canadian organizations to adapt to the new realities of COVID-19. With respect to the CFL, officials continue to examine their requests to see where they may be to fit in terms of existing emergency assistance programs. So to me, I take that as they're trying to still get them in those programs and not looking at giving them the lump sum of $42.5 million that the CFL has asked for. The government of Canada is open to a hub city model. I'll just add this real quick, but the CFL must have rigorous return to play health and safety protocols in place and would need to consult with provincial and local authorities to obtain due health. That's from Ryan Nearing, who is a press secretary for the Office of the Minister of Small Business. So I try to get the concrete goods for you guys, and that's literally the latest from the Canadian government. So if you read between the lines in terms of the financials, it doesn't seem like they're going to give out a big payout because they're still focused on trying to get the CFL and hopefully the players into some of the government wage subsidy programs that are open.
This all follows in line with what I'm hearing, Justin, and that is the federal government wants the CFL to play in 2020. They want it. As a matter of fact, it was laid out to me. The government wants Canadians working, and they'll subsidize their wages if they have to, but they want them working. So, man, I'm getting a headache out of this. So it all comes back to the players needing to accept the deal from the owners. What if they don't? What if they don't? What then?
Well, I would say you need to, Roddy, the agreement needs to be fair to the players. And if the agreement isn't fair, it's not on the players to accept it. So there needs to be some give and take here. And the dirty tactics that the CFL are taking right now is tying the COVID-19 pandemic to trying to extend the deal. That's one of the key factors that we had on Three Down Nation in terms of getting on the field in 2020 that the CFL has said, yes, we'll agree and work towards agreeing, I should say, to getting on the field in 2020, but it's going to be tied to the CBA in 2021 and further years. Why not just focus, because it's going to take so much already to get on the field in 2020. Just focus on that aspect and worry about the rest in the future.
You know, you remind me of Darren Dreger, who was on in this space yesterday, in that I said, wouldn't you like to just report on hockey? Wouldn't you just like to report on football, Justin? And I'm sure your answer would be the same as Dreger's. He's like, I can't. This is the news at hand right now. Like, is there any actual football news that we could talk about today?
Right, man, I wish there was. To be quite honest, I'll give you one thing that we're working on here at Three Down Nation, and that is that I've acquired multiple negotiation lists. So we're thinking about doing some sort of, let's say, project that's never been done in terms of the CFL neg list being revealed. There's a number of interesting names worked on there. We've had a few of them on the site. Colin Kaepernick is top of mind right now, so we have that information and some other things. So that's the only sort of real football stuff that I've been working on, because other than, you know, a few small signings here and there, everyone's sitting around, and that's guys in front offices waiting to hear what's going to happen.
How about the BC Lions putting Chase Claypool on their negotiation list? I'm actually shocked that he wasn't before the Pittsburgh Steelers, the prospect. That's big news.
It is, certainly. I should have mentioned that, too, because we had that and reported that news on the site on Three Down Nation. And obviously, it's a long shot, but what it does, and for people that don't know, the negotiation list that each CFL team has, there's 45 names there. So if you put a player on there, and in Claypool's case, he's gone through the CFL draft and wasn't picked because he was taken so high by the Steelers in the second round, that it gives you the exclusive CFL rights to that player. For example, Nathan Shepard is on the Hamilton Tiger Cats negotiation list. So if it was ever even needed and Claypool wanted to come back and play in the Canadian Football League, I mean, hopefully he doesn't. We all want to see him be a star with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And if you guys saw recently as well, his Madden rating came out, which was pretty solid for a rookie, that the Lions would have his rights if he ever did want to come back and potentially play for his hometown team.
Cool. Oh, now the comments are coming in from the viewers. Oh, by the way, Richie Leone says, thanks for the insight. That would make too much sense. Richie's watching this morning. And I really appreciate you, Justin, coming on to straighten all this stuff out from what you know. Nelson Hakowicz, our VP of Sim Events, writes in and says, how about the BC Lions still trying to find a buyer? Oh, now's a great time to be saying, want to buy a football team? I would say that that's probably on hold for now, right? And I should say this. Alex Singleton was on the show on Monday, Justin. I don't know if you saw it or not, but what an engaging personality this guy is. And we asked him about going to camp with the Eagles, and he's like, well, they're telling me to stay ready. But he almost acted, Darren, like he didn't believe this was going to happen. Did you get that sense?
I got the same kind of sense from him. But, I mean, he's wonderfully optimistic about it. Which is good.
Well, of course, yeah. Anything on the NFL, Justin, on whether you think they'll play or not?
Guys, from what I've heard from people down there is that, you know, the NFL and Roger Goodell is saying that we're full speed ahead, but there's still some uncertainty there whether or not they're going to start the season on time. And you guys have seen it, the hot spots in some of those states, you know, in California and Florida, and obviously there's teams all across the United States, but how are you going to be traveling people in and out of those hotspot states to go to some of the other ones, and just the mess that COVID-19 is down in the U.S.? So from what I've heard, that you could actually take, you know, the first 4 weeks of the season and sort of flip it and put it on the back end, that if you needed to start a little later, you could do that. The NFL is in a completely different stratosphere, obviously, with the money that they have to try to get through and some of that testing. And I think they want to be full speed ahead, but there are still guys down there that I talk to that are uncertain about when they're going to get rolling.
Awesome insight, Justin. I really appreciate you finding the time. 3downnation.com is where you can find all the latest. The number one source for CFL information is 3down. Thank you, sir. Stay safe. There you go.
You bet, guys. Be well.
Repping the brand. All right. Justin Duncan, Southern Ontario. By the way, Trent in Norway is still watching. He writes in and says, what happens with American and global players trying to get into Canada? Well, we can talk about this for viewer takeover because we're going to talk Blue Jays next segment. But look, NHL players are coming in. NHL workers are coming in. NBC workers are coming in. Listen, you got to go back and read the Toronto Sun article by Steve Simmons on the government looking the other way with certain people coming into the country to work. And we've had government officials email this show that say, hey, if you have the proper paperwork that you're coming for work, vis-a-vis a pro football tryout, you have a pro football contract, they'll let you in by land or air.
Yep.
So that's not a problem, Trent. I got to read this from Todd in Winnipeg. He's a big supporter of the show. The majority of young players are still clinging to the idea of making the NFL. Huge difference between voicing displeasure and reality. The reality is players will play. That's you speaking, Todd. But let's leave it to the players when it goes to the Players Association vote. And we'll find out yes or no. I think, and I'm with Justin, the CFL is gambling that when push comes to shove, they're going to play.
Yeah.
That's what I believe. That's what they think. We'll talk about that and more. Lots to get to. It's the RP Show. We're going to talk a little Blue Jays when we come back with Robert Witchell of the Jays Care Foundation. Hang on. It's the RP Show. You're watching across North America on Game Plus and watching around the world on the Rod Peterson Broadcasting Network.
Head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now. You got to subscribe. Click the subscribe button for all the content you may have missed.
IKS Live. IKS Live. Western Canada's premier production services company. LED. LED sign rentals. Video. Video production. Event management. Look no further than IKS Live. Visit our website. IKS Live. Always the best seat in the house. IKS Live.
At Prairie Mobile, you can get the phone you want when you want. All smartphones are $0 every day. With convenient locations across Saskatchewan, Prairie Mobile, your Sastel authorized dealer, has you covered. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition, and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
People donate blood for moments like this.
But there are lots of reasons why Canada's Lifeline needs donors every day.
Like the fact that someone with leukemia can need up to 8 units of blood a week.
Or that donated blood lasts no longer than 42 days.
Or to help new moms and babies, like Henry.
There's lots of reasons to donate blood.
That's why we need donors every day.
The need for blood is constant. Join Toyota and our Toyota dealers in supporting Canada's Lifeline.
You need to adapt and you need to move forward. You can't be stuck in 1920. DirectWest is on the top of their game. They know what they're doing, how they're doing it, and when you work with DirectWest, things are good. There's no going backwards, they're moving forward. My business would not be where it is today without the help of DirectWest to help me with my website and my Facebook and all my online presence. I've worked with DirectWest for about 10 years, and it's been a great experience.
At Suds, we make your car shine. It starts with our state-of-the-art wash system. Our NeoGlide wash material is safe and gentle on vehicles and buffs your finish to a brilliant shine. Plus, we hand dry and inspect every vehicle for a top quality result. I'm Kirby.
And I'm Natalie. Whether you're getting an exterior wash that takes 10 minutes or treating yourself to an interior cleaning, the result's going to be the same. Your vehicle's going to look great.
Suds Full Service Car Wash.
We'll make your car shine.
Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Welcome back to the RP Show, everybody. We are on Game Plus, live in over a million homes across Canada and around the world on Facebook Live. By the way, the Prairie Mobile text line is open. Get some comments coming in on CFL, the Blue Jays. You can hit us up at 840-8777. That's 306-840-8777. Prairie Mobile is your authorized Sastel mobility dealer. And our poll question today for Capital Auto Mall is, how do you feel about the move of Vladdy Jr. to first base by the Toronto Blue Jays? Over 80% on Twitter, over 70% on Facebook saying they're in favor of the move. And the Blue Jays had an intra-squad game last night, and they won. So everything is coming up millstone with the Toronto Blue Jays. And with that, we're pleased to welcome to the program Robert Witchell. He's the executive director of the Jays Care Foundation, and he joins us from Southern Ontario today. Look at that beautiful hat. That looks new issue. Good day, Robert. How you doing?
I'm great. Thanks. Thanks for having me on the show.
I appreciate it. And I appreciate everything that Jays Care is doing for the kids, not only of across the country, of course, but in this province of Saskatchewan, the community commitment. Big announcement here recently, and it's really touched Saskatchewan, where we call home. Can you talk about what you guys have announced here?
Yeah, well, you know, this season has been, well, to put it mildly, kind of crazy. And we wanted to make sure that as an organization, we're supporting the communities that support the Blue Jays year in and year out. And rather than sort of tuck our heads in and stop our work, we actually doubled down. We said we're going to actually invest more this year than we have in previous years. And so we announced a $7.5 million commitment in children and youth across Canada.
That's unbelievable. And here there's Indigenous baseball programs. There's a lot of money coming to this province, but I'm sure it's spread equally across the country. How do you go about doing that, Robert?
Well, we've got a number of programs that are national in scope and some are regional in scope. And it's really about the partners who want to participate in these programs and our ability to have them join. To your point, we've got a national program called Indigenous Rookie League, and it's running in File Hills, Qu'Appelle, and LaRange, and there are about 20 First Nations participating in that program in a normal year. And what we've done is pivoted our programs, working with communities to adapt to their local health priorities. And so some programming is happening in some places. In other places, we're doing things virtually and helping communities that way. One of the first things we did after the lockdown hit was to contact the families of some of the kids in our programs. And we know that COVID isn't hitting everyone in the same manner. And those people who are already struggling or in under-resourced communities are really, really struggling. And what we heard when we contacted the families of 600 kids across the country was there were certainly concerns about food security. And so we've done things to address that. But one of the major concerns was actually the mental health of the kids in the programs and their lack of access to their friends, to their normal routines. And so immediately we did some relief type work. We worked with different partners across the Blue Jays community, Rogers, Sobeys, to deliver food programs. So the Jays fandom contributed $1.5 million meals to food banks across Canada. We transformed Rogers Centre into a food packing distribution center, and we've committed to delivering 10 million meals along with Rogers, our partner on that initiative. And we're reaching out to the families in our programs, delivering food and books for the kids in the programs.
That is unbelievable. If I could possibly become a bigger fan of the Blue Jays than I am now, that is putting your money where your mouth is, I guess, Robert, to be honest with you. And the other thing is, you talk about the mental health, of which I work in that field full time when I leave here every day. I know how important that is. I don't think most people do. But the other thing is, here in Saskatchewan, I'm seeing photos from parents and kids that they're back out on the diamonds. Is it the same thing in Ontario? That must warm your heart to see that baseball is a sport that the governments have said, we're going to allow you to get back out there and play. They weren't allowing team games against other teams for a while, but now they are. How does that make you feel to see that?
Well, I think we're behind you in terms of how we're moving into our different stages of post-pandemic. But I heard this morning of a particular ball club that is, they're restricted to 10 people, including the coaches. So they've split up their team into groups. They are running, not games, but drills. And that just started within the last couple of weeks. So I think we're a little bit more, impacted by the virus than you guys have been in Central Canada, but in terms of numbers, but it's slowly happening, and it's great to see. We run a program called Challenger Baseball. There are hundreds of kids in Saskatchewan who participate in that program. It's an adaptive baseball program for kids living with disabilities, either physical and or cognitive disabilities. And at the early stages, when we spoke to those families, a lot of the kids are immunosuppressed, and the families are terrified about going out. And so we delivered over 1,000 adaptive baseball kits across the country so that families could provide that type of programming for their kids. The reality of it is that just on a normal basis, for kids living with disabilities to participate in sport, there's so many barriers. It's more expensive, and access to programming is just not there in a lot of cases. And so it was really important for us to help those families. And what we heard from parents was that a lot of the programming and physical activity and socialization for the kids happens out of their homes. And so when they were locked down, a lot of the rehab wasn't happening for a ton of these kids, whether it was, in a hospital or a rehab center. And so the families reported they're really upset about it because they're seeing a regression. And when kids weren't being able to participate in the adaptive baseball programming that we run, the parents were really concerned. So our team really turned around quickly, got these adaptive kits out to kids and their families, and it made a big difference.
Oh, I don't doubt it. And by the way, the executive director of the Jays Care Foundation, Robert Witchell, is with us. I'm keeping you a little longer than we promised, and I apologize for that, but I enjoy hearing what you're talking about. And Robert, the guys have shown me photos of you out. You have rolled up your sleeves and you're part of this. You're not sitting up in your office and directing people to go out and deal with the community. You're doing it yourself. So it must be bothering you that you're not able to do that right now. I'm sure you can't wait to get back out there and do what you do.
Well, it's funny you should mention that. I was looking at my calendar the other day. I was supposed to be in Saskatchewan, I think it was last week. We made several investments through our Field of Dreams grants for improving infrastructure for kids. And we've donated hundreds of thousands of dollars in Saskatchewan through Field of Dreams. And I was supposed to be in Ituna last week, you know, celebrating the opening of a refurbished field. And yeah, it does bother me, but you know, it's important that everyone remains safe and things will open up again. I was up in one of my favorite visits to a Field of Dreams grant recipient was up in Turtleford, and a small community. We committed over $60,000 to that field. And, you know, the interesting thing was that we were told by the community, like, we're a very small community. There's no way we're going to be able to raise that type of money. So that was an important commitment, and to, you know, for the Blue Jays to hear and to listen to our needs up here in North Turtleford, or in Turtleford, was really special. But the fact that representatives from the Blue Jays came and helped us celebrate the opening was really special. So that touched our heart. I mean, I think they had 300-400 people out when we did that announcement. And I think it just celebrates small communities. It celebrates the game of baseball. And, you know, we solved a problem, which was the majority of the home games couldn't even be played because they had such poor drainage on their field. And even if they got like a couple centimeters of rain, the field was out of order for some time. So we helped refurbish that field, and trying to give a boost in the arm to baseball up in that part of Saskatchewan.
Well, two things come to mind. One, so the whole town came out, 300 to 400 people, which is cool. And two, that's how you build a fan base. So, Robert, I thank you for the time. Sorry for keeping you longer than we promised, but thanks for all you're doing for the youth of and communities of this province and the country. I appreciate it. And go Jays. Hopefully we get her rolling.
Well, thank you, sir. One thing I will say is that there is going to be some good news for Saskatchewan when we announce more Field of Dreams grant recipients this year. We're granting over $1 million across Canada this year, despite the fact that our revenues have been severely impacted. So stay tuned. This is a scoop for your program.
Awesome. We will stay tuned. Thank you, Robert. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Robert Witchell, the executive director of the Jays Care Foundation. Follow them on Twitter, by the way. You can follow him and Jays Care. All these people writing in. Love the Turtleford story. Amazing. From John Ohm in Winnipeg watching. Ohm, you are looking at your rock star of the day for Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions. Robert Witchell of the Jays Care Foundation. Hang on. Viewer takeover coming up next. You want to talk Jays? You want to talk hockey? You want to talk CFL? It's up to you. We'll be right back. It's the RP Show across North America on Game Plus, and you're listening and watching around the world on the Rod Peterson Broadcasting Network.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show?
You can still chime in from wherever you are in the comment section. As a matter of fact, we encourage that.
What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions is Saskatchewan's only full-service supply chain company. Strategic sourcing, PO creation, and order expediting, VMI and vending solutions, and free delivery are just a few of the supply chain services we provide. If your company needs it, Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions can get it for you. Price, quality, service, Rockstar Supply Chain Solution is helping Saskatchewan companies buy better.
Some of the challenges we face with the CT technology that we have today is some of the deficiencies in around integration with some of our other systems. The addition of two new 4D simulators within the programming at the Saskatchewan Cancer Agency is going to have significant impact on you know, the care we provide to the people of Saskatchewan.
Does this look familiar? Your fans deserve an incredible arena experience. It's time for an upgrade. Stunning graphics. Revenue opportunities are just the beginning with our in-venue display systems and scoring technology. Let us help you find the best solution for your facility. DDG. Always delivering the best fan experience. Find us at ddgregina.com.
Building a deeper connection with our fans by putting them in the show. It's a new era of sports talk. The Rod Peterson Show airs from 10 to noon, Monday to Friday on Facebook Live. Join the conversation today and tune in. Online, on your phone, at home, at work, follow us on Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. And subscribe on YouTube for all the content you want to watch. Don't wait, do it. Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now, back to the studio with Rob.
Yeah, welcome back, ladies, gentlemen, and kids of all ages. We got to get to a sports update. Canada's deputy public health officer says the federal government would be having a different conversation with the Blue Jays about playing regular season games at Rogers Centre if the United States and Canada were at similar stages in controlling the pandemic. Dr. Howard Njoo said Tuesday that discussions are ongoing between the Canadian government and the Jays, but he said the issue of having both the Jays and American teams continually crossing the U.S.-Canada border complicates the idea of hosting regular season games. The Jays' home opener is supposed to be July 29th against the Nationals, and right now they don't know where they're going to play it. Johnny Gaudreau's separation from his linemates continued into the second day of Calgary Flames training camp Tuesday. The Flames' top line not skating together is conspicuous given how much Calgary's going to lean on the trio to score against the Winnipeg Jets when the NHL season resumes next month in Edmonton. Center Sean Monahan and right winger Elias Lindholm worked out with a larger group of 23 skaters Tuesday, while Johnny Hockey remained in a pod of nine. And the NHL forbids teams from commenting on the status of individual players, so the reason remains a mystery. The sports update for Ballers Rec Room, Saskatchewan's newest entertainment destination. Our arcade games and batting cages are officially open. No reservations necessary. Stop in and see them today. And for Red Bull Canada, Red Bull gives you wings. It is viewer takeover time, but only for a couple minutes. Look, we went a little long last segment. But folks, when the Toronto Blue Jays call you and say, can we get on the show? You know what you knew, Darren? You put them on the show.
Yeah, good advice.
It's the Toronto Blue Jays. So, aside from all of that, we're going to carry this over a lot into Hour 2, which will be broadcast live on Facebook Live only. And by the way, Drew Tate will be with us, former Rider, Stampeder. Where else has he been? BC Lions as a coach. Ottawa for a time.
Yep.
And Ryan Ballantyne, Stampeder's blogger and podcaster, is going to be with us. We'll get into these CFL issues. But I am very confused on where the CFL is, because I know for a fact they'd like to convince the federal government that they're going to play this year and potential federal and local or national and local sponsors. And yet you got David Naylor saying with me, I mean, I started the war and then I walked out of it because I had to go on TV here for 2 hours. But he's now in it with reporters and fans, Naylor, going back and forth, and he doesn't think they are going to play. And if you're TSN, you're the rights holder, and you got your top guy saying, I don't think they're going to play, then I don't think they're going to play. I wrote in my column this morning, my gut's telling me they are because they're trying so damn hard to play. Where do you stand on this?
Yeah, you know, and Dave Naylor just comes with a boatload of credibility, right? So if he comes out and...
Yes, he does.
And,
yeah.
And I know he started by saying, I'm okay if they don't play, or the league will be okay. But if he's actually saying that he doesn't think they're going to play, man, it's hard not to go along with that and not to start to believe that, because he sways a lot of influence.
Yeah, but why do I have all these coaches writing me and saying, no, we're going to play, Rod, and here's the plan? Are they being lied to?
I
don't know. And then you got the players that are upset with the proposal from the owners. Look, we have a lot to unpack into hour two. Our poll question will continue. Do you like Vladdy's move to first base? That's for Capital Automall, Universal Collision Center. The whopping majority say yes. Lots to get to in hour two, again, with Drew Tate and Ryan Ballantyne. Thanks to Justin Duncan, Robert Witchell of the Blue Jays. We'll see you tomorrow at 10 a.m. Mountain right here on Game Plus. I got balls.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.